So you may remember the 2020 elections. One of the big issues that came up and was suppressed was Hunter Biden's laptop, which was dubbed the laptop from hell for many, many good reasons. And I think that the best way to outline this is talking about some of the work I did on lotuseaters.com, where I covered the stuff from the laptop from hell, and I've never been the same since. So yes, the first of which is this timeline I did, a timeline of Joe Biden's corruption allegations. And more or less, it's just following the behavior and of Hunter Biden from about 2009 until 2021. And it plots all of his misdeeds, mostly linked to Joe in particular, not him, you know, being a massive degenerate.
Please tell me there aren't any dead babies in this one.
No.
Thank goodness.
No. Thankfully, it's dead baby free. However, degeneracy and corruption free, I cannot promise you. So yes, this outlines most of the stuff of concern of national importance, not just weighing down on the moral character of Hunter Biden himself. And this links him to people in Ukraine and China, the border Burisma, and him dealing with billionaire oil tycoons in China, mysteriously getting gifts of diamonds and millions of pounds or dollars or whatever.
As you do when you're just talking to people with nothing underhand going on.
A crack addict with some very small grasp on the legal system in America, that's going to be very useful to Ukrainians and the Chinese, especially that it's got nothing to do with the fact his father was vice president for a lot of this time.
And up to his elbows in Ukraine as well for much of this period.
Exactly, yes. So, of course, there is this article outlining all of that, as well as the fact we go into more detail. I spoke to Carl explaining both the findings of my research and just the man, Hunter Biden himself. You can see on the thumbnail one of the images that I had to look at to create this.
Americans, this is the son of your leader.
So yes, if like Callum, you don't like reading, here is a video that explains in video form what I found to Carl. So enough of all of that. I'm assuming now that you know roughly what was going on with Hunter Biden's laptop. And we're moving on now to the story that I think broke yesterday at the time of recording, that the repair shop owner who basically handed in Hunter Biden's laptop to the FBI sues CNN, The Daily Beast, Politico over Russian disinformation claims regarding Hunter Biden's laptop.
Oh.
So this could potentially be some accountability for these outlets who basically propagated obvious fake news. Like, Hunter Biden left his laptop at this repair shop, forgot about it, as drug addicts often do. And then this guy's just like, whoa, there's some weird stuff on this laptop. Contact the authorities. And now he's been lumped in with this Russia conspiracy.
Yeah.
He's just a guy who owns a laptop repair shop. I mean, he's just an ordinary guy, more or less, lumped into
the catapulted into fame.
Yeah, I feel very sorry for the guy. So I hope he
does. Is that a picture of him below?
Yes, he's got an interesting hat there.
Is he a veteran?
I don't know. But anyway, I'll read from this postmillennial article, which is always very good. Everything from the postmillennial tends to be some great stuff. So, the laptop repair store owner at the center of publicizing the contents of Hunter Biden's abandoned hardware is now suing CNN, as it says in the title, The Daily Beast, Politico, for defamatory damages that cost him his livelihood and claims that the story was Russian disinformation. Hunter Biden first dropped off his laptop in April 2019, but forgot about it. Mac Isaac shared the laptop's data with the FBI in December of that year. Before then, Rudy Giuliani obtained it, and the New York Post broke the story in October 2020. And if you cast your mind back, of course, the New York Post had the story basically suppressed from Twitter. And I think for a short while, didn't their account get removed from Twitter?
For reporting on it.
Yes, and supposedly this was hacked data, according to Twitter. Yeah, I don't think so.
I know.
Mac Isaac's lawsuit was filed in Montgomery County, Maryland, and the claimant seeks both compensation damages for the impact it had on his professional life, but he's also seeking to clear his name in the public eye by pushing forward with legal proceedings. And I'm quoting him directly here. After fighting to reveal the truth, all I want now is for the rest of the country to know that there was a collective and an orchestrated effort by social and mainstream media to block a real story with real consequences for the nation, MacIsaac said in a statement to the New York Post. This was collusion led by 51 former pillars in the intelligence community and backed by words and actions of a politically motivated DOJ and FBI. I want this lawsuit to reveal the collusion and, more importantly, who gave the marching orders.
Oh, respect him for taking this
far.
This is
a very brave man.
Yeah.
I mean, I would be very worried for my personal safety if I were him. I mean, taking on the FBI.
And the DOJ.
Yes.
The intelligence community.
The mainstream media.
Like, no, this guy's a hero. Come on.
I don't know how he can sit down with balls of steel that big. But yes, MacIsaac singled out Adam Schiff of the House intelligence community for pushing the baseless claim in a last-ditch effort to protect Biden's family reputation. The litigation targets the initial pushback against the initial New York Post story following its debut. Here's a rundown of the moments of interest cited in Isaac's lawsuit against the outlets in question. And it talks about CNN broadcasting the false statements of committing an infamous crime, blah, blah, blah. Treason by working with the Russians to commit a crime against the United States of America by attempting to undermine American democracy and the 2020 presidential election.
Mm.
And that is a strong charge from CNN, isn't it? And
yep.
Easily refutable by the fact that this guy is just caught in the crossfire.
Yeah, but it's kind of how... Do you remember how CNN became so drunk on its own power that it just suddenly thought it could spout any obviously defamatory and untrue statement without any consequences?
Well, yes, because it's my belief that CNN and a lot of the corporate media were in bed with many of the politicians, many other... non-media-based companies, and they created a sort of cabal, this sort of informal alliance, or probably formal behind closed doors.
A conspiracy, you might say.
You could say that, yes, but I believe I can't say much more about that on YouTube.
But Time magazine had a very interesting article about it.
They did indeed. It's fortifying stuff, that read.
It is indeed. And isn't America so fortified by it?
Yes, indeed. So the article goes on to say there are ramifications of the aforementioned establishment media's reporting forced MacIsaac to close his Delaware repair shop after vandals threw various food objects and dog feces at the property's storefront. The owner had to go into hiding.
Charming.
And this is no fault of his own, don't forget. He did what he should have done, really. He said, I found some weird stuff on this laptop, and contacted the authorities, and instead of, you know, thanking him, rewarding him in some way, the entirety of the American establishment turned against him doing this.
Mad,
almost like they're making an example.
Like, do you not think the safe thing would have been to just confiscate the laptop and pretend it didn't exist? Or had he already copied all the contents?
I'm not sure, to be honest. But it seems very stupid on the intelligence agency's part. Not that the FBI has any credibility to preserve in the first place. I mean, they're not known for being this nice, humane, well-intentioned organization, are they? Let's be honest. So, while MacIsaac was unsuccessful in his lawsuit efforts against Twitter, former CEO Jack Dorsey had previously gone on record saying it was a mistake for his site to censor the initial New York Post story. So I think he's repenting for his sins a little bit now. He's not got this responsibility to keep the good word of Twitter, the official lines, preserved, I suppose. People have repeatedly called Isaac a stooge for Russian President Vladimir Putin. In the time since the outlets named in the lawsuit publicized accusations, death threats, male harassment directed towards the former repair shop owner echoed the theme and cost him his public reputation, according to the lawsuit. The attorney representing MacIsaac, Brian Della Rocca, says his client is seeking at least $1 million in compensation damages and punitive damages, which will be a much bigger number and will be determined at trial.
Oh, well, he will get his millions, I'm sure. But
best of luck to you, though. Yeah. You're a brave man, and I respect what you did, if you're watching. But nevertheless, I hope it works out well for him. He certainly deserves it. He's an ordinary American doing what he should have done, doing the right thing, and he's been punished by the powers that be. And I think that this is quite a compelling story, isn't it?
Yeah.
In a way. That's not all, though. Elon Musk, as well, has been trying to get to the bottom of this. So this all started from a tweet from Tom Elliott, where he says, NBC's Mehdi Hassan, and he also tagged on Elon Musk, If the neo-Nazi faction of the GOP expands in November, we may look back on this as a pivotal moment when a petulant and not-so-bright billionaire casually bought one of the most influential messaging machines and just handed it to the far right, which is the rantings and ravings of an absolute lunatic.
Do you know he's Swindon's most famous journalist?
Is he from Swindon?
He's actually from Swindon, yeah. I know. Now he's got a show on NBC.
We're sorry, America.
Yeah.
I'm not from Swindon. I wash my hands clean. But,
yeah, I know. Remarkable still. Coincidence.
Oh, dear. Mm. Yeah, but the man should not have any influence whatsoever.
He's well known for these sort of raving statements.
Neo-Nazi faction in the GOP, right. Mm. Okay. It's not the GOP that wants to raise race consciousness, is it? I think that's a certain media outlet alongside a certain political party, but there we go. Moving on, Elon Musk replied to this, and he says, NBC basically saying Republicans are Nazis. Yes, obviously, that is not exactly the greatest observation, not helping to reinforce what he said about not-so-bright billionaire, but the next part is great. Elon Musk goes on to say, the same organisation that covered up Hunter Biden's laptop story had Harvey Weinstein's story early and killed it and built Matt Lauer his rape office. Lovely people.
Oof.
Based Elon.
Wow. This is,
I'm looking forward to him formally being
the main man behind the sound Twitter. Of those like intercontinental ballistic red pills screaming across the sky.
but wait. He's been fact checked.
Oh no.
I know, it's terrible. So PolitiFact published something called, they titled Elon Musk's false claim that NBC News covered up Hunter Biden's laptop story. And it's completely false, apparently.
No.
Not PolitiFact. They're the arbiters of truth and justice and reason and all of these great things. Oh, how terrible. Yes, it goes on to say, Musk tweeted that NBC News covered up the story about Hunter Biden's laptop. NBC News reported in 2020 that its reporters attempted to cover the laptop story, but were not given the kind of access that would allow them to verify the authenticity of the documents from the laptop. NBC News said there is not among the select few news organizations that have been given access to key documents. NBC News said that its lack of in-depth reporting in 2020 on the laptop was due to people in Trump's circle trying to limit access to the information. That's not the same as covering up the story. Musk's tweet gives the impression that NBC News had all the relevant information and chose not to disclose it, and that's not accurate.
So he's saying that Trump was trying to cover up the laptop story. That's what this fact check
is. Yes, they're also taking NBC News at their word. Just like, yes, we trust NBC. We're going to take them at their word that actually they weren't given access or whatever. You're just meant to trust NBC, which seems to me, for something that's meant to weigh up the truth and evidence, that's a bit far-sighted, because surely the implication being that NBC malevolently tried to cover up this news story.
Mm-hmm.
So why on earth would they be upfront about their real reasoning behind it?
Yeah,
clearly PolitiFact have not done their due diligence.
Well, what they do all the time. They decide that one person is trustworthy and the other isn't, depending on their own political persuasions, and then they make a judgment based on that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Horrendous.
But thankfully, now Elon Musk seems to be taking over Twitter. He's going to hopefully bring a new approach where we might even be able to see what exactly Twitter did to suppress this story behind the scenes. And this is something I'm very excited to see, but I'm also very cynical about being able to see it, in that I'm very sure that behind closed doors, Twitter are burning documents left, right and centre. They're hiding all of that evidence because... For one, there was this trend where right-wing figures on Twitter all of a sudden started gaining lots of followers, and left-wing ones started losing loads of followers. And it could be attributed to the fact that Elon Musk announced that he's buying the platform and it attracts lots of other people. But the magnitude to which it was happening seems to me that they changed something in the algorithm.
That was suppressing right-wing accounts.
Yes, and the... My limited understanding of this is that it's very difficult to implement something new into an algorithm, but it's very easy to take stuff away. So if there was some sort of throttle on certain right-wing figures gaining too large a platform on Twitter and they removed it, well, that would explain why this was going on. So I think that they are burning the evidence. But that I can't really know for certain because I don't have any means of knowing what they're doing.
It would be good if we did find out all of the truth, though. All of the grisly details.
I'm very cynical. I think that if there have been misdoings, they'll know exactly what they need to do to cover up.
Yeah.
And they probably would have had this already written out.
Plan, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're probably going to be prepared. If you're going to do something risky, perhaps even illegal, you're not going to just, you know, fob it off. Ah, we'll deal with it later. You're going to have something in plan. You're going to be able to action it. It's basically probably already done. Mm-hmm. It's probably already too late. However, there is promise in the fact that Elon Musk, after announcing his interest in buying Twitter, said, "The extreme antibody reaction from those who fear free speech says it all." And then he goes on to say, "By free speech, I simply mean that which matches the law. I'm against censorship that goes far beyond the law. If people want less free speech, they ask government to pass laws to that effect. Therefore, going beyond the law is contrary to the will of the people."
That's very well put.
Exactly. And hopefully things are going to go in a better direction. And this seems to be the case in that Elon Musk has announced, as of today, I believe, Elon Musk will run the whole of Twitter after he buys it, report says.
So who's going to launch the rockets and the electric cars?
He's got plenty of other people to do that. He can focus on running Twitter instead. This is like his new pet project.
I'd rather he launched the rockets, to be honest.
It's promising better. That this is going on.
We'll get some better outcomes in the information sphere, at least.
Worst comes to worst, he can all send us to Mars and we can leave Earth to the leftists. We can have our new utopia. Mm-hmm. Don't actually do that. That's a terrible idea.
Red planet for the red pilled.
So yes, the article goes on to say, Tesla and SpaceX boss will also take leadership of the social network when his purchase of the company is complete. CNBC reported, citing sources.
Citing sources.
Sources in quotation marks. I could see this happening though, to be fair. So I'm not necessarily too skeptical. Of course, when reporters cite sources, obviously, red flags should be raised. It gave no indication of whether the information had come from Mr. Musk or Twitter's side of the deal. Twitter is currently run by Parag Agrawal, who took over when co-founder Jack Dorsey announced he would be resigning his position in November 2021. Mr. Musk has been critical of the current Twitter management and has suggested that disagreements with its current leadership and how the network is run are at least part of the reason for him to buy the company in the first place. In his initial letter making an offer to the company, he sent it to the chairman of the board, Brett Taylor. Mr. Musk said he does not have confidence in the management and that lack of confidence would lead him to reconsider his position as a shareholder if he is not able to buy the company, he said then. So yes, hopefully with Elon Musk looking at the Twitter angle and this repair shop man up against the odds, there might be a bit more truth to this.
A bit more transparency about the contents and the implications and context. Yes, of it.
The court case in particular, as well as Elon Musk's takeover of Twitter, certainly things to keep an eye on, and there could potentially be some positive outcomes here.
Yes.
If you appreciated that segment from the podcast The Lotus Eaters, you can go to lotuseaters.com to get access to all the premium content we have on the site, such as this premium video, The Politics of Taxi Driver, that Thomas and Josh did together. If you want to follow Thomas, you can also follow him on Getter at @ThomasDowling on Getter. Thank you and goodbye.